Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening to each and everyone. Praise God for this day. My brothers and sisters, this is the day that the Lord has made. I pray you've made a quality decision and you choose to praise him today. We thank and praise the Lord for this day because this is the day that he has made and we choose to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank and praise the Lord for what the Lord going to do today on the broadcast. I thank and praise the Lord. We send a shout out to Apostle Armstrong and to Lady Armstrong. We thank and praise the Lord for Apostle Armstrong and Lady Armstrong. We thank and praise the Lord for how the Lord is at working in their lives. We tell him thank you. Great and faithful is our God. God is so faithful, and I just thank and praise the Lord for this day. And every day with the Lord is a new adventure to me. I just thank and praise the Lord for the redemption work of Christ. Last Thursday, we talked about David. David understood what it meant to be in covenant with God. In 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, if you go back, read it in its entirety, you will find out when the Israel army was confronted by Goliath, David's sibling, all of them, as well as the other army, they was afraid of Goliath. But David had a boldness. David had a boldness and a courage about himself. He was not afraid of him because David had developed a relationship with his covenant partner, which was God. And David knew that he was not by himself. David was a shepherd boy. And, you know, it's amazing how all of us have a process, you know, with God. Once you get born again, if you get in the Bible, if you have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, you get in the Bible and start reading, the Holy Spirit will bring some enlightenment. He will bring some not only knowledge but understanding and revelation to you. The Bible come alive to you. It won't just be words written on a page, but he will bring some understanding and the reality of the Bible, it will come alive. But anyway, as I stated, David really got acquainted with God while he was out minding the sheep. He was a shepherd. He tended sheep. And I don't know when it happened, but one day David got a revelation that just like he was a shepherd that tended sheep, God was a shepherd, and God was his shepherd, and he was God's sheep. And David seen how God protected him. So in the process of time, God graced David with the strength and ability to kill a lion and a bear. And when David got to his brothers and they was talking fearful and they was afraid, they were talking about this big giant and all that. But, you know, we're gonna kind of go a little bit in depth with that because you and I, when we came, when Christ came in our life, we came in covenant. That's why the Bible, if you read the whole sixth chapter, Ephesians, it talk about we in Christ and Christ in us, the hope of glory. You read Ephesians, you read Colossians, it tell you who you are and what Christ is in us. And when it talk about we in Christ and Christ in us, that's covenant talking. You know, ask the Lord, open up your spirit, our spirit to eyes. We can understand better what God is saying to us through his word. And in Mark, the 4th chapter, and Matthew, the 13th chapter, it talk about how when the sower plant the seed or plant the word, he compared the word of God to the seed. He said, immediately come the weak one. And I find out the enemy of our soul, everyone knows is Satan. Satan don't want you and I to come in to the knowledge, the understanding, and the revelation or who we is and who God is and what God say about us when it come down to covenant with him. You know, a lot of people, they understand that it's an old covenant, it's a new covenant. Where you need to come on in and increase your knowledge to find out that we, in just like in the old covenant, Israelite, they was in covenant with God. They were God's chosen people. They were God's chosen people, and because they were God's chosen people, God did certain things for them. And the reason why, for one thing, they were God chose because they choose to seek him out. Yeah, no, they, you know, they have some, just like we have some today, because we are free, free moral age or free moral being. We have a choice. We can choose to serve God or we can choose not to. But if we choose to serve him, it's certain blessing and choosing to serve God. Once you make up your mind to, you know, to serve God, well, better yet, receive Jesus, your Lord and Savior, where you inherit some things, the blessing of God, the peace of God. It's so many things about it. We're gonna try to get in this about covenant as much as we can, but it have to be faith. You have to receive it by faith. Remember, we talk about, the Bible talk about faith, the just shall live by faith. We walk by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. And that's so important. Whatever you and I want to receive from God or know from God, we have to do it by faith. Faith is having confidence in what God's word say. That's not based upon what we see in the natural or what we can feel, but it's based upon what God's word say. And the Bible said God is a rewarder of those that diligently seeketh him. So there too, again, as I stated, this covenant that we have with God, it's a good covenant. But there too, again, we have to get in the word, as Matthew 6:33 says, we have to get in the word and seek it out. Yes, you have to seek it out. But like I said, David understood what it means to be in covenant. And when it was time to face Goliath, listen, you know, I used to read, when I first started reading the Bible with my grandmother, it was just stories in the Bible. The reality, I didn't have a reality of the Bible. I didn't even have a reality about God. You know, it was when I would hear my grandmother talk about God, it was something about him, but the reality wasn't there. My grandmother would talk about God, you know, he was real to her. He was someone that she would call, she would pray to, and she would believe and she would trust him to do certain things. And when it came to pass, she would give him the glory. Now, to me, yeah, okay, but the reality wasn't there. And you know, and I didn't understand until the day that I received Jesus, my Lord and Savior. That's when the realness, the reality of God came alive to me. And ever since that day, the Bible is just not a bunch of words on page or just a lot of stories, but it's the reality of it and what God was to a lot of these people in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. That's what God want to be to each and every one of us. But I found out a lot of time before I'm going somewhere with this, a lot of time before we come into the knowledge or before we get saved, we have a lot of stuff in our mind about God. God this or God do this or God won't do this. But you really don't really know what God do until you really get born again, receive him as your Lord and Savior. And it's more to God than just about heaven and hell issue. Better yet, it's more to God than just, you know, I want to just make sure I live right and hear my testimony. My thing was I just wanted to get saved so I can get delivered from, you know, doing a lot of pot and drinking and I didn't want to go to hell. But once I received Jesus, my Lord and Savior, he didn't only deliver me from marijuana and drinking, but he delivered me from eternal damnation, which is hell. And I didn't know nothing about it. But as I got in his word and began to renew my mind, I found out a lot of things I heard people say about God wasn't so. And I found out a lot of people, is not being able to see God reveal himself and do things for them like he did in the Bible because of lack of knowledge and unbelief and doubt. Y'all, God is a God. God keep his promise. God is a God of integrity. God have his responsibility to humanity, but we also have ours to God. And I found out God is not going to do what he told us to do. And just like David, all of those other Israel, the one that was David's brother, them, they was in covenant with God too, but they hadn't developed a relationship with their covenant partner. But David, out there minding those, tending to those sheep, David had developed a relationship with his covenant God. And David found out, he said, he was the one that gave me the strength to kill the lion and the bear. And he said he would give me strength to kill this uncircumcised Philistine. And when he was saying uncircumcised, he was saying Goliath didn't even have a relationship with God. Or better yet, Goliath wasn't in covenant with God. That's what David was saying when he said God would give him the same God that gave him the strength to kill the lion and the bear would give him the strength to kill this uncircumcised Philistine. The Philistine, they was not in covenant with God, but the children of Israel had a covenant with God. But like I said, David brothers and them others, so even saw they was afraid of Goliath, and they was people that didn't know, I'm sure maybe somebody mentioned to them, but they truly didn't have a knowledge and an understanding and a revelation about their covenant with God. But due to David making and finding and spending time with God, David came to get acquainted with his cover partner. And I'm saying, even in this new covenant, the Bible said that in John the 10th chapter, Jesus said that the thief come but to steal, kill, and to destroy. But I came that you would have life and that you would have it more abundantly. And I'm telling you, we as born-again believers, you and I will not be able to experience the redemption work that Christ paid for. Some might just only experience, you know, I'm going to heaven whenever I die. I won't be going to hell. But when it comes down to every day, the blessing, the benefits that we don't inherit by being in covenant, the Bible tells us in Hebrews, the 8th chapter, that we have a better covenant with better promise. And now, when he talk about we have a better covenant with better promise, he talking about we have a better covenant what they had in the Old Testament. And if you go back and do some study, and as I stated, as the Lord allows, we're going to get in deeper with this about covenant, because a lot of saints is living beneath their privilege, because guess what? They don't know, and some don't understand what it means to be in covenant with God. Understand what I'm saying? It ain't like I always know myself, but when God began to open up my eyes and let me see that I was in covenant with him, that's what, when the Bible says you in Christ and Christ in you, that's covenant. When I went through catechism class, I found out that it's a language to language. And also when it comes down to the kingdom, it's a different type of language that we speak. You know, his laws and principles in the kingdom of God, just like his laws and principles in the natural. But if you're not spending and making time to get in God's word and read God's word, you won't know this. And so, therefore, I found out, beginning with myself, years when I first got saved, I had identical Christ. I had a problem with knowing who I was after I got born again, what God required from me. And a lot of people were like me when I first got, I would be praying, and sometimes my prayers got answered, and sometimes they didn't. I was seeing sick people all around me in the church, and I couldn't understand why was that happening. But as I really got serious about the things of God and began to seek him, according to Matthew, the 6th chapter, if you read in this entirely, you will find out when he first said, Jesus said, take no thought for your life. And the Lord began to show me, he said, you taking all these thoughts about what you going to eat, what you going to drink, what you going to wear. He said, your number one priority should be, you're supposed to be seeking me out, seeking my word out, find out who I am, who you are, and why I place you on this earth. Now, believe it or not, my brother and sister, that is worth finding out. The more we come into the knowledge of who God is, what God is to man, what man is to God, it will really help you and I to experience that abundant life. We want some people, you know, they just waiting to die and go to heaven. They don't know how to depend and believe and trust God for their daily bread. Even when the disciples told Jesus, teach us how to pray. You know why them disciples said that, I believe? Because they would watch how Jesus would go to solitary places. Jesus would get up early and go out and pray and sometimes spend all night in prayer. And then whenever he would get to people, miracles, signs and wonders would follow him. People would get delivered for whatever they were, whether it was sickness, a demon possessed, or being tormented by evil spirit, they would be getting delivered. And it sparked some of them decide. They wanted to know what was his secret. How is it this man Jesus, every time he spent all night, and I think it's in the Gospel of Matthew, how when Jesus spent all night in prayer, and after that he chose his 12 apostles, you know. But they noticed every time Jesus spent all the time he would spend, he would go apart from them. And they know he was praying. Something miraculous, miracles every day. You know, sometimes now, y'all, we might see a miracle every now and then. That is not the plan of God for us. The plan of God for us is to see miracles continually. Come on, somebody. It's the will of God for us to experience the impossible daily. But see, the Bible said, according to our faith, be it done unto us. The Bible tells us that God have given every one of us a measure of faith. You see, you ever done sit back and, well, I have done it, sit back and observe two Christians, and you can see both of them experience something similar to the same situation, but you see one come out with joy, strength, and peace, and revelation, and one don't come out. When they come out bitter, being resentment, in doubt, and unbelief. It's because one understood what it meant to apply their faith to their situation in the Word of God, and one didn't know what to do. And because we are free moral beings, we have a will. We can choose to do and not to do. And I'm telling y'all, that's the problem with some saints now. They are struggling with life because they don't know who they are in Christ. They don't know what Christ have did for them. They won't make and find time to get in God's word and find out what God will have them to do. We got a lot of saints, they performing. And when I use words like that, I don't let the enemy have you to get offended with what I'm saying, because I'm not being little of you, but I'm using these words to make a point, because it's God's will for all us to experience abundant life. It's a lot of things happening in the world right now. And some people, they struggling with it. They don't know what to do with. Oh, and as you know, I'm very transparent. Prophet Miller done struggled before in life. But the more I walk with God, the more I'm finding out I'm in covenant. David wasn't the only one in covenant with God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wasn't the only one in covenant with God. Joseph, Samson. They wasn't the only one in covenant, and that's what used to really get my attention, because I couldn't understand when I first got saved. When I read the Old Testament and I see all of the miraculous things God did. Now, please hear me. God is still doing miraculous things in people's lives. Come on now. Understand what I'm saying. But my point is this. We not seeing and as much as things that a lot of them saw in the Old Testament. And the thing about it, they did not, it wasn't no such thing as being born again. You couldn't get born again because Jesus hadn't been crucified. The Spirit of God went in them. The Spirit of God would come up on them when it was time for them to do certain things. But we in this new covenant, what make it a better covenant, we can be born again. We can have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. We can have the Holy Spirit inside, and he can lead and guide and teach us. That's right. That's what make this new covenant so good and a better covenant, because every year for their sins, they had to do atonement. And read the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews talk about the new covenant. It talk about doing away with the old and coming into the new, you know. But anyway, like I said, we're going to go into Psalms, the 23rd chapter. And y'all, sometime I know I come on and I don't open up with prayer, but let it be known, I pray a lot before I come on the air, you know. And then when I do get on the air, I be so keyed up, you know, and I just want to get into the word, because it is God's desire for we as born again believers is to come into the knowledge, the understanding, and the revelation of who we are in Christ and what Christ have done for us and how we can reign and rule on this earth. Now, God is a spirit, and we are spirit being as well. We are spirit being. We have a soul. We live in a body. But we are the vessel that carry the anointing. God cannot, and I'm going to say that, if you stay the truth, God cannot just walk on this earth, but God have to have a body to manifest itself. A spirit is no good without a body. That's why the enemy go about and he try to possess your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotion. He has to have our permission, and he always banking on us being ignorant, because when we ignorant, we don't know. The devil always banking. He banking on us to be ignorant. He banking on us not to know, not knowing who we are and what God will have us do on this earth. But once you come into the knowledge of what it means to be in covenant, and David's success was in his covenant partner, because when you go read 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter in its entirety, David was a little rubbish guy. He wasn't a stout person. He was kind of, maybe he wasn't stout, you know. He didn't have the six pack and the muscles and all of that. But what caused David to be successful and victorious while he was minding them sheep was he got acquainted and found out I'm in covenant with someone is stronger and more powerful than me. And that's what a lot of us, if you haven't came into the knowledge, the understanding, and the revelation for who God is, other than just based upon what somebody done told you about God. That's why a lot of time when we ministering, we be telling you, put your eyes on it. And I know sometimes when we go read the scripture, it might take a little longer, but let me tell you something. The reason why you need to put your eyes on it, prayer is putting God in remembrance of what God said he would do, and let him know that you and I have faith and confidence in what he said. Just like Mark 11 and 23, it tells us that we can speak to the mountain. But if you don't have the knowledge and understanding, you telling God to speak to it. And that's not the way it's supposed to be done. We don't supposed to tell God to speak to the mountain or tell God about the mountain. That's what we supposed to do. We are supposed to be the one that speak to our situation, speak to our problem. God require us to do that. But if you don't know that, you'll tell God about the problem. Prayer is not praying the problem, but prayer is praying the solution and speaking to it. Amen. So now, I said all of that. Let's go to Psalms 23. Psalms 23 is a very, familiar passage of scripture. As a child growing up, I used to hear my mother, my grandmother quote those verses a lot of times. St. John 14 and Psalms 23, it was just my favorite. I didn't care what was going on. My mother and my grandmother had so much of faith and confidence in these scriptures. You know, I would always hear my mother talking. I mean, if we got sick or whatever, truly, my mother believed that the Lord was her shepherd. And so I want you, like I said, this is covenant talking. You know, unless the Lord open up your spirit to eyes, and that's why it's so important. Whenever you read the Bible, a lot of times before I start reading, I pray in my prayer language for a little while. I ask the Lord, I say, okay, now, Holy Spirit, I need some. I need you to enlighten the eyes of my understanding. I need some understanding. I need some knowledge, but I also need some understanding, and I need some wisdom. You know, you can have knowledge without understanding and wisdom. All you got is information. But once you get the knowledge and you get to understand, the Bible said, get wisdom, above all, get understanding. You know, wisdom will show you how to apply the knowledge that you have. And godly wisdom is more powerful than natural wisdom. Godly wisdom help you and I to see what's all in it, the spirit as well as the natural. But it is so important. But if you have your Bible, let's go to Psalms, the 23rd chapter. And as I stated, the last time we was on the broadcast last Thursday, we talked about David and how David was successful in killing Goliath, because David invited his cover partner. And David understood that Goliath, this uncircumcised Philistine, wasn't in covenant with God. Well, guess what? In this new covenant, do you not know, as a born-again believer, you are in covenant with the Trinity. Jesus paid for it. In the battle that we fight, David said in 1 Samuel 17, he said, a battle is not yours but the Lord. Do you not know the battle we fight an invisible being, and we fight a defeated being? Satan is defeated. Yes, he defeated. I know he make a lot of noise, but he is defeated. Do you hear me? The Bible tell us, and that's why Jesus tell us, he make it plain. He said, the thief come but to steal, kill, and to destroy. I came that you may have life, you may have it more abundantly. It tell us in Ephesians, neither give place to the devil. Now, if you ain't got no knowledge and some understanding and revelation of this, what it means to give place to the devil, you'll be constantly giving place to the devil. We do it through our words. We do it through our thoughts. We do it through our actions. And I'm telling you, this is so important. If you want to experience and walk in the victory that Jesus won for all of us. But in Psalms 23, like I said, I want everybody to go to, and I'm in the Living, y'all know Prophet Miller, like her New Living Translation. It tells us in that 23rd verse, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. Now, that kind of sounds like Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. But in order to know what he was talking about when he said all these things, you have to go back and go in and read Matthew the 6th chapter, and you find out that in that 24 through the 24th verse all the way down to the 26th verse, he's talking about daily provision. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added. Sound like the prayer. Remember when the disciple asked Jesus to teach them how to pray? And David wanted in that prayer, they asked the Father to give them their daily bread. Then you read in Matthew 6, it talk about how the trees and everything. Even y'all, God feed the animals. Sometimes I'm amazed when I when I'm outside and I see the squirrels running around, I see the birds, or I'm driving and I see somebody done throw food out and the bird out there eating, or even sometime animals been killed and you see other animals eating. You know, God did that. God put all of that. God established all of that to work that way. These are things that, God put in motion, you know. And even in the time now, you know, a lot of that with the food price went up. I'm sure, you know, you go in the grocery store now and things that the price went up. And, you know, sometimes I'm tempted to complain. You go in the grocery store, you got about four bags. You come out with four bags, and you got my now $100 worth of grocery, depending upon what you done got. But I thank and praise the Lord because I had to learn not to complain. Come on, somebody. You hear what I'm saying? I said I had to learn how not to complain because He is my shepherd. I am in covenant partner with the one that created all mankind. And it's God's responsibility to take care of, just like it's a shepherd's responsibility to take care of the sheep. And this is what David said. Now, I'm looking at it from the King James. I'm looking at it from the Living Bible. And I'm looking from the Amplified. The Amplified said, the Lord is my shepherd to feed. Listen. He said, now, he break it down. That's what it means when the Lord is his shepherd. He said, he feed me, he guide me, he shield me, and I shall not lack. That's covenant talking. That's why the Bible said, to him that believe, all things are possible. Even the impossible can be turned around to the possible. And I think if you don't live long enough, I believe all of us can experience the impossible. One of the things that have really drawn me to the Lord and have kept me with the Lord, with his help, is when I went through a divorce, and it was terrible. I mean, I married my school sweetheart, and when he left me for this other woman, y'all, I'm telling you, and you know, I did not want to live. I would contemplate suicide, had two beautiful children, wasn't thinking about them, being selfish. And I thought I could just never get over it. It was so tormenting, so depressing. You know, now this is my story. I'm sure you have one maybe worse than that. But to me, you might say, now you were crazy. You are absolutely right, but you don't be thinking like that. Sometimes when bad things happen, things that are out of your control and you don't have no control. And see, so I learned when it comes down to relationship or other people, you do not have authority over their will. God don't even have authority over their will. God choose to give us a will, and by giving us a will, God ain't going to override our will, violate our will. That's why sometimes when you praying for somebody other than yourself, it appears sometimes it takes forever for them to get delivered. It takes like forever for them to get right, because God is not going to violate or override their will. That's why even in heaven, angels have will. That's why Satan had a will. That's why God didn't stop Satan. Satan had a will, but he did tell him, you got to get out of heaven. Angels have wills. They are spiritual beings, but they have a will. Jesus said, I come to do his will. Jesus gave his will over to the Father, but the Bible said he was the expression of image of God. But that's the point I'm making is, some of you struggling right now when it comes down to praying for your spouse or praying for your children or praying for your family members. I hear God say shift just a little bit. I want to encourage you today. You first off, realize they got a will. Yes, you keep praying and believing for them. God ain't going to make them live right. But if you just keep believing and keep decreeing and declaring household salvation, you see, God know how to deal with all of us that cause us to want to do it his way. He ain't going to make us do it his way. But when God begin to open up our eyes to let us see things for what it really is, it makes a difference. But listen, you don't, I'm going to say it again, you don't have control over somebody else's will. None of us do. You don't have control over somebody else's will. And that's something you have to realize. And that's something the enemy, he'll stress you out about what somebody is doing. And that's something about human nature. When we ain't in control of a situation, a problem, something, if you ain't careful, you'll get stressed. You'll open yourself up depression for all of that. Stop doing that. That's why 1 Peter 5 and 7, cast that thing, get that thing to God and leave it alone. Yes, and when the enemy try to torment you about it, tell him I done gave it to God. Now you go talk to God about it. It's not my problem anymore. Okay? Then he said in the second verse, he makes me to lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He lead me beside the still waters. Listen, God provides for us for our natural need as well as our spiritual needs. As I stated, you as a spirit, you have a soul, and we live in a body. Y'all listen, the Bible is simple. But I found out when you don't have knowledge and understanding and revelation, we can make the Bible so complicated. I mean, one day the Lord told me in the early part of being a pastor, he said, y'all make my words so complicated. He said it's simple. And if you know that Jesus always used parables when he walked earth to explain the laws in the kingdom of God, he always compared it to when it come down to gardening and stuff, because they was farmers. And he always broke it down. And y'all, the things of God is really simple, but that's why so many times you need to get in there. You need to really get in the Bible and read the Bible for yourself. Ask God to open it up to you. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you understanding and revelation of it. You know, God is out. Yes, we're in covenant with him, but he's our shepherd. Jesus, you know, there is one, but Jesus is your shepherd. He's your provider. He's your healer. And you know, when I pray and do my daily prayer, a lot of time I decree that I said, Jesus, I thank you not only my Savior, but you're my provider. You're my strength. Then I said, Holy Spirit, you're my teacher. You're my instructor. You're my enlightenment. You're my understanding. You're my revelation. You know, faith come by hearing, but we release faith with our word. And people don't realize that's one of the spiritual laws. Some saints ain't coming to the reality of your words have power. But I ain't going to get into that right now. I'm going to stick with this. But like I said, God met David's spiritual need just like a shepherd. And David learned that God would refresh him, that God would take care of him. You know, beside the still water, David didn't have to ever worry about drowning or struggling with when he started struggling. God was always there. Now, I like what one theologian said. And I'm going to quote him on it. He said, just as a shepherd gives sheep rest and green pasture and refresh them with quiet water, so God have done spiritually to David. The chaos and the struggle of this world can leave us exhausted. Sometimes our opportunities to learn our dependency on the Lord. He provides spiritual refreshment and restoration. He renewed our life. God meet David directed needs. He led him along the right path. She's the prone to one and become lost. And there too again, like I said, this is covenant talking. This is the way covenant is. And David got acquainted with his covenant partner. Remember when, and we might go in this series, how Abraham and God came in covenant. God made covenant with Abraham. Remember the woman that had been saving, had bowed down, and the Bible tells us when Jesus saw her, even it was on Sabbath day, and they was talking about he shouldn't be healing on Sabbath day, and Jesus said, seeing this a daughter Abraham who saving had bowed these 18 years, ought not this woman be loose? And I'm telling you, we have a lot of people experience a lot of sickness, a lot of struggling life because they have an identity Christ. They don't know who they are in Christ. Like I stated before, I'm not trying to belittle you. Please hear me. Don't let the devil, because the devil, oh, she just act like she know everything. No, she don't. That's the way you think. I know I don't know everything. You know, and anybody think that all of us end up with, when it comes down to the things of God, it's a process. Nobody know it all. We all know a part. I'm just giving you my part. I'm giving you a piece of the puzzle. But, you know, anytime God places people in your life to try to help you, that little spirit of detraction, the enemy start having you to think the worst of. Oh, they think they know everything. They like you dumb. Ain't nobody like that. That's the devil got you thinking like that. Don't let the devil put that in your mind. That's why the Bible tells us to armor ourselves. It ain't about how old you is. It ain't about what you know versus what somebody else know. It's all about we need help. And God have placed each one. Don't you know you the solution to somebody else's problem? You looking down on yourself. You, the devil have you looking at everybody else, somebody, and you a nobody. It ain't no such thing as a nobody in God's eyes. Whether you're in the kingdom of God or not, whether you don't come to the knowledge to know that you need a Savior, you still are somebody special in God's eyes. Even if you don't have nowhere to live, you ain't coming into the knowledge. You are somebody in God's eyes. I don't care what people done told you. You know, people can be influenced by demons too. And they can be influenced to say, oh, you'll never be nobody. You don't take on that kind of mindset. You are somebody. God created you to be somebody. Even if your mother and father walked out on you. David said, when my mother and father forsake me, the Lord, you'll be there. God ain't going to forsake you. God still loves you. Grab hold of yourself. Wake up. Embrace yourself and say, I am somebody. You know, don't take on what people say. And see, that's the thing that I love about the Bible, because everything that people said, the negative that people said about us, it's not true. Hallelujah. But then, like I said, going to tell how God continued to lead us in a path. You know, most cars have a navigation system, and my car have one. And you know, they have it on phones now. Thank God for it. If I want to go somewhere that I don't know where to go, I put it in my phone and Google in the map, and it'll just tell me where to go, where to make the turn. When I get off route, it says, you have left your route, and it'll redirect me to. Well, guess what? When we go the wrong way, God is so merciful. He's so kind. He is there to help us to get back on the right path. The Amplified said, he refreshed and restored my life, myself. He lead me in the paths of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with him, not for my earning it, but for his name's sake. Listen, you can't earn God's goodness. I want you to hear me. For years, when I first got saved, I find myself, I will read the word, and I try to do it in my own strength, my own ability, and I fail tremendously. I found out, faith is believing and trusting God to help you to do what God wants you to do. That's part of grace. One definition of grace is merely favor. But the other definition for grace, that means God enables with the ability, but we receive it by faith. That's why the Philippians said in the book, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. God will enable us, God working you both to will and to do of your good pleasure. So there too again, it ain't no nobodies. God didn't create nobodies. Before God put you in your mother and put you in your mother, God had a plan for your life. I don't care how many times you done missed it. I don't care what you done did in life. Jesus is the Savior of the world. When I say the world, I ain't talking about the trees. I ain't talking about the sand. I'm talking about humans. You mean, he is the Savior. And all you got to do is humble yourself and just cry out, say, I need a Savior. And Jesus, I believe you is the Son of God. I believe you died for my sin. I need a Savior, Jesus. I done messed up. I messed up. If you messed up in your marriage, if you messed up when it came down to your family, whatever you messed up, Jesus is available to receive you and clean you up. His spirit will come in you. He'll take that old sinful nature out. The Bible says he'll take the heart of stone out, give you a heart of flesh. He is there. I'm telling you, he cleaned me up. I got a mind to live right. I got a will to live right. Now, that don't exempt me from adversity, affliction, and persecution. No, it don't exempt me from, but I don't have to go it alone. Just like David didn't have to fight Goliath alone. You don't have to fight the enemy by yourself. God is there to help you. If somebody say, I'm about to, you know, I just feel like just going somewhere and going off a cliff or doing it. Don't you do it. That's the enemy talking to you. You see, I found out, you know what depression is? Depression is thinking the negative about yourself. The enemy got you thinking the negative. And the enemy is pointing out to you what you done did wrong, what you done failed in life. Look, we all done failed in something. Ain't none of us done dotted everybody across everything. All of us done made mistakes. All of us done made the wrong decision in life. Everybody been there. But Jesus is still there to say, hey, I'm here. You see, all of us came from God. God want us to come back to him as we choose to. He want us to choose to come back. He ain't going to make you come to him. But he'll show you you need him. Yes, you need a savior. You know, I listen at some time, when I think about these football player, basketball player, some of these stars make all that money, and a lot of them be committed suicide. It don't make you happy. It's, in other words, it can make you temporary, but it's not fulfillment. There's a void in us, and only God can fulfill that void. But like I said, David is talking covenant here. He said, yeah, though, I walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, for you are with me. You are my rod to protect. You are my staff to guide me. They comfort me. What are you saying, prophet? You know, when I after I got divorced and just to churn out, you know, I dealt with a lot of fear. But thanks be to God, God delivered me from fear when he revealed that I wasn't alone. You know, God got a way. It's the old saint, my mama and you saying, it's mighty sweet. God revealed to me a way, and you're not by yourself. I'm with you. I'm always with you. Sometimes, you know, I travel, and sometimes, you know, I be in the automobile by myself. But I'm so conscious of to know that the Lord is with me. And he'll speak to me many times. You don't have to fear. If you read the four gospels, on many occasions when the disciples or when people was up against opposition, he would tell them, don't fear. He would tell them all the time, don't fear. One time Jesus was walking on the water, and the disciples thought they seen him go. He says, I don't fear. He was constantly telling the people not to fear. Ain't that just like a good shepherd? Ain't that just like a good father? You know, it's amazing. I'm not only coming with you, but God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. And he always was telling the people not to fear. I know the economy and the way things are, but my sister and brother, you don't have to fear that. If you're doing what God done told you to do, listen, if you're doing what God done told you to do according to what is written, listen at me good. I ain't talking about according to what somebody done told you. See, we living in the time, and even in Matthew 24, Jesus said it's going to be many prophets, and he said many false prophets, and they going to cause many people to go astray, and many going to be deceived. We're in the hour of great deception. That's why you need to open your Bible and read that Bible. Cut that TV off. You see, these are detractions. You know, the enemy don't want us to find out who we are so we won't have to walk in what God say. He don't want you to know. You know, sometimes I like a good cowboy movie. And there's nothing wrong with watching TV, but don't spend more hours than watching the TV than you is in your word. Because let me tell you something, when affliction comes, when persecution comes, you need to know what to do. Hallelujah. You know, I kind of sense somebody, you listen at this, and when you first got saved, you was on fire for the Lord. And now you find yourself that you know, the things of God don't mean much. And let me tell you something, disappointment can open the door for bitterness and resentment towards God and towards people. But listen, disappointment come to all of us. But you can't allow yourself to get in bitterness. How you do that, prophet? You do it by walking in unforgiveness. Well, you need a revelation of the power of forgiveness and the power of unforgiveness. You need to know, we did a series about Matthew 18. If you go read it, in Matthew 18, Jesus began when those disciples were quarreling among themselves. But then he began to talk to them about unforgiveness. Peter asked the question, how often must I forgive my brother when my brother trespasses against me? He was saying, Mark 11 and 23, he went to my speaking to the mountain, but he said, but when you stand in prayer, pray, if you have aught against any, forgive. The reason why he said it, God didn't forgive you, my brother and my sister, when you and I came into the knowledge of sin or what we had did. God forgave us for Christ's sake. And that's why he tells us that we need to forgive for Christ's sake. We need to be forgiven even as God for Christ's sake forgave you and I. Forgiveness is not when you when the people choose to mistreat you, come and ask you to forgive. Forgiveness begins, because forgiveness really is a commandment from God. Come on. Yeah, you can choose not to forgive, but guess what? You open the door for the enemy to continue to torment you. Because sometimes people don't realize that they done offended you. And then some people, they do it intentionally. But the point I'm making is, according to what God said, you got to forgive. In order to experience the forgiveness that Jesus paid for, you and I have to forgive others if they done offended us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is so important. But he gone down. He said, he was saying that whatever he go through, he would not fear. And like I said, God met David's emotional need. Regardless of the danger surrounded David, his sheep, God was his shepherd. And David didn't have to fear. He going to say he provide comfort with his rod. He used to beat wild animals that attacked the sheep and his staff. He used his staff to guide and pull his sheep back and keep them out of harm's way. And sometimes, y'all, life can take us down a dark valley. But guess what? We need to know that God is there with us. He'll comfort us. The Holy Spirit is the greatest comforter, and he's here on this earth. You know, I read a book about why bad things happen to good people, and nobody really don't have the answer. But one thing you can rest assured, the Lord is with you, and the Lord ain't going to leave you by yourself. You just got to get more acquainted with him. If you full of fear, that's a sign you don't have a relationship with God, and you don't have a knowledge and understanding of what it means to be in covenant with him. You don't know what it means to have him as your father. Yeah, we have a lot of fathers on this earth that mistreat people and ain't did right by their family, but you can't compare God to your natural father. Because we don't have a lot of them that have been good examples. But God is somebody special. Then he gone to say, he come for me, the fifth verse. He said, you prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil and my cup running over. There too again. God met David's physical need through his enemy. Hover near, God fed David when he was hungry. He anointed him with all when he needed healing. And like David, we must recognize that we have one source. There are many resources, many channels God may use to provide and care for your physical well-being, but you have only one source, and God never run dry. That's why David said, my cup running over. Listen, and I learned this when God called me off the job. And God let me know, and I'm telling you, it really helped me. God let me know that he was my source. Whatever my need was, God was my source. That, yeah, for a while, God, the job was a challenge, people was a challenge, but God is the source. And that's why I say, even with the grocery and all this stuff done with, know that God is your source. Don't be out here decreeing and declaring, I ain't got no money, I don't know how I'm going to make. You need to say, Lord, I thank you. You is my shepherd, just like you were David's shepherd. I'm in covenant with you. And God, I'm doing what you require me to do with your help. And Lord, I thank you for supplying all my needs, not some of my needs. Lord, whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do it. And this is what David would say. God is the source. His many challenges. Your job can be a challenge. Your social security check can be a challenge. Your disability check can be a challenge. But let me tell you something. Don't sit there and be standing with what's coming in your hand. Sometimes, God, now I'm a person, I believe in tithing and offering. I have a revelation. Some people say, God don't mean for people on the fixed income to give tax. I didn't see that in Malachi. It was tithe before the Mosaic law. Then when the law came through, they asked for tithe. And after the Mosaic law, you still give. We are givers. We supposed to always give because every seed produces after its kind. Now, some people teach you don't have to give. You don't need to be giving your money to the church. No, you're giving it in the name of the Lord. It just go by that way. Now, what they do with that money, God forbid, and I do too, that they should use it right, you know. But guess what? Once you release it and sow it what God tell you to sow it, it's between God and them. But God would account it towards you if you obeyed him. You know, a lot of people want money, but they don't want to sow money. No, you got to. Every seed produced after its kind. The Bible talk about giving in the Old as well as the New Testament. When they had something to build or something to do, the people were sold. They would give so they can give what they needed. That just part of laws and principles of the kingdom. Listen, the Lord, now I'm going to have to start right here at the sixth verse, and Lord willing, we'll pick up on Monday with it, but you need to know, when you read the 23rd Psalm, it's talking about covenant. That's talking about relationship, covenant. It was somebody stronger than David. As I said, no way David could have beat Goliath or slew him with that one little stone, because Goliath was a human, he was a giant. But David was able to slew this giant because he was in covenant with the Almighty. And guess what? Here's some giants in your life. You can slew them giants in the name of Jesus. If you get acquainted, you come into the knowledge, understand the revelation, what it means to be in covenant, what it means to be saved, you know. You know, I first came out what it meant to be saved. Then I found out what it means to be in covenant with God. And that's what you need to know. You ain't in this thing by yourself. You need to increase your knowledge and revelation by getting in this word and asking God to show you. One of the scriptures I prayed for years and still pray, Ephesians, the first chapter, starting at that 15th verse all the way down. Ephesians, the third chapter, Colossians, the first chapter. These are scriptures that I pray that God inspired Paul to pray. I'm going to stop right here. Father, I thank you again for this word. Thank you, Lord, for letting us know that you is our shepherd and we in covenant with you. I pray, God, that you continue to bring enlightenment and understanding to those that tune in. I come against and I bind up stress, depression. I bind it right now. I come against the spirit of suicide. I bind it right now. I loose the peoples in Jesus' name. I rebuke discomfort in people's bodies in Jesus' name. I command healing from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. I rebuke stiffness and swelling in your body. Inflammation, I bind it in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I thank you and I praise you for those that have tuned in. And, Lord, forgive those that have been walking in unbelief and doubt. Listen, repent. If you've been operating in unbelief and doubt, that stand between you and your miracle. You need to repent. Lord, forgive me, and Lord, help me. God will do it. Again, this was Apostolic Prophet Willie Ann Miller. Thank you for tuning in. And listen, we're going to pick up here, if the Lord willing, on Monday from 12. We'll be on from 12 to 1. If the Lord willing, we're going to pick up at Psalms 23 and 6. Listen. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Go back and read these scriptures, and I pray God will give you more enlightenment and understanding. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and listen, Jesus is Lord. Let him be Lord in your life and your circumstances.